Lord, in a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for allowing us in your house this morning. We thank you for the great privilege, Father, of worshiping you and calling upon your name and being together as a church family. And Father, we ask this morning that you will bless us with your word, that you will speak to our hearts, that your Holy Spirit will have his way in our services. And Father, I might mention our president and the first lady, Father, that you would give them a very speedy recovery. Father, we know that there are people hurting all across the land, Lord. There are people that are losing family members due to this virus. But Father, we know that you're in control, and we understand that you answer our prayers according to your will. And we do ask, God, that this will come to pass very quickly. We ask, Father, that you'll bless those who are at home watching us live stream, perhaps even at a later time on the internet, on the website. We pray, Father, that you'll speak to their hearts as well. Lord, we ask your blessings on the children in the back. We thank you for those classes back there and those teaching them. And we thank you, Lord God, for your church. And we ask your blessings now on all that we do and say this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. You'll turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I'm going to ask you kids, I'm not going to ask you, I'm going to tell you, put your phones up, okay? Unless you're reading your Bible on your phone, there's no reason for you to have your phone out, youngsters. And so I would appreciate that. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, last Sunday, we used as our starting text Colossians chapter 3 and verse 2, which says, set your affections on the things above and not on the things on earth. We are literally being instructed by that verse to think more about heaven than about our lives here on earth. That word affection means thoughts or mind. Set your mind upon heaven and not on the things on earth. So let me ask you a question. How well do you think we as 21st century Christians are doing with that? I think we're going to get a big fat zero is what I think, because we just don't have heaven on our mind the way we should. We don't think about heaven the way we should. And much of the problem, as I told you last week, has to do with the easy, prosperous lives that we live in this generation. Our lives are longer. Our lives are easier as a society than any society that has crossed this planet since our Lord Jesus Christ was on earth. The average lifespan for a human being has doubled in the last 200 years. And in the early 1800s, it was 39 years old, and now it is 78 years old. With that comes a greater attachment to life here on earth. We just live longer, and we just get more attached to the things of this earth. Beyond that, the level of comfort and the material gain that an average person receives and experiences in this life, that has multiplied in the last 200 years. There's no way of knowing accurately what kind of multiplication is involved there, but we know that we have it so good. We have it so much better than those of the past. And all we have to do is walk into our bedroom and open our closet door to see an example of this. In most cases, it's wall-to-wall clothes. The floor is wall-to-wall shoes. And I've told you this before, but most homes that were built before 1940 didn't even have closets built into the home. It never crossed their mind to build a closet because they didn't have anything to put in. They didn't need the storage. It just wasn't, those things just weren't there in their lives. And so all of this lends to the modern Christian having a tighter grip on this life and having a tighter grip on this earth and what we're experiencing here, and really having no desire to be reaching towards heaven. And folks, that ought not to be so. Generations past focused more on eternity because their existence here on earth was much more difficult. And so the idea of a heavenly home, the idea of going someplace where there was no pain, no suffering, no more hardships, what the idea of that was very appealing to them. So they thought our grandparents and their parents thought about heaven more. after talking about this last Sunday, Bobby Fulgen brought to my attention some facts that he had recently read, and he passed them on to me, and I think it's fitting this morning to pass these on to you. Before I read this, I would like to introduce to you my grandparents. You've heard me talk about them over the years multiple times. Here we go. That's Mr. and Mrs. Sutton. That is Ethel and Noble Sutton. Those are the ones that helped raise me. Grandma was born in 1896. Grandpa was born in 1901. Now, with that in mind, let's think about some of the things that they experienced being born at that time. As teenagers, in their early 20s, they lived through World War I. 22 million people died in World War I. Right on the heels of World War I, beginning in 1918, the Spanish flu hit our planet. 50 million people died of the Spanish flu just 100 years ago. In their early 30s, the Great Depression struck. The United States economy almost collapsed, along with the world economy. 25% of Americans were unemployed for multiple years. Many of our nation stood in line for food, soup lines, on a regular basis. My grandma talked multiple times. I remember hearing it over and over how she said she stood in line for hours just to get sugar. You see, that's some of the stuff they were dealing with. If you lived in Nebraska or Oklahoma or Texas or Kansas or right through there, which they did, you endured the Dust Bowl. The Dust Bowl was a 10-year period that in the early 30s of excessive drought and widespread dust storms, 2.5 million people were displaced. They were forced to move. They had to leave. 100 million acres of farmland was destroyed. Many families just up and walked away from the farms that they had worked so hard for over the years. Just walked away. Many of them had to go to California. In the early 40s, while my grandparents and your grandparents were in the height of raising their kids, World War II took place. 75 million people perished in World War II. In the 50s, the Korean War came along. 5 million people perished in the Korean War. In the 60s, Vietnam came along. 4 million people died. Then the Cold War began, and for decades, they lived under the fear of total annihilation from nuclear war. Then the 60s and the 70s hit, and the whole world began to change before their eyes culturally. Extreme upheaval in our nation. Nationwide, the sexual revolution, activism, violence, riots, hippies, drugs, gays coming out into the public. All of this, it was like my grandparents and your grandparents were stepping into the twilight zone. They could not understand what was happening around them. Then in the 80s, AIDS hit. And then 20%, think about this, 20% interest rates in the early 80s. 20%. Think about that if you were buying a car or a home. Everything that was dear to them, the values that they had held for so long, were being stripped away from their society right in front of their eyes. And after all of that, friends, I think you and I would understand why they lived with their eyes on heaven. I think you and I would understand why they had a focus like most Americans during those times. Their life was so hard and so difficult that they focused on eternal life. Now look at my grandma and grandpa. That's after 9.5 decades of that kind of life. My grandma, she looked like she was 180 years old. She looked like that my whole life. This is the way they were when they were raising me. I was the last of 12 that they raised. 6 of their own kids and 6 of us, our siblings. Now that was a hard life. Very proud of my grandparents. Now you and I have a life that's quite different, do we not? Sometimes we think it's hard. But we don't stand in line for food. In fact, you can get any kind of food you want delivered to your home within just a phone call. We don't have to worry about unemployment. If we lose our job, our government will make sure we get more money than we got when we were working. We just saw that happen.
We don't have to worry about our kids being shipped off to war. We really just worry about them staying at home till they're 40. Right? We don't have to worry about walking, hopping trains, or hitchhiking everywhere they went. And that's what they did, by the way. If you've got a pulse, you can go out and buy a nice car at 3%, 4% interest rate. If you've got a pulse. I don't need to belabor the point, but I think we all know that our lives are really not that hard. And the result of that is having little or no thought of ever leaving this earth and going to heaven. And I told you that this last week, friends, we've got to correct that. Because as believers, we have far more in heaven than we have here on earth. Our Father is in heaven. Our Savior is in heaven. Many of our loved ones are in heaven. Our citizenship is in heaven. Jesus told in Luke chapter 10, verse 20, he says, "Rejoice because your names are written in heaven." Amen. Friends, we belong to the kingdom of heaven. We belong where Christ is the King. We have an inheritance there, as the Apostle Peter said, that's incorruptible, undefiled, and fadeth not away. Folks, I'm not going to have much of an inheritance here on earth. Neither is my wife, Tricia. There will be some, I'm sure, but it's not going to be a great deal. That's okay. I don't intend to retire here on earth anyway. I intend to work till I drop, and that's just the way it's going to be, I'm sure. But you know what? I've got a retirement. Because I got an inheritance in heaven. You know, it's all been set up. It's all ready. I don't have to make installments. It's all been taken care of. Jesus said he's prepared a place for me. What about you? If you're a Christian, this world's not your home, friend. And you got to realize that. You remember the old song? We ought to sing it once in a while, Brother David. This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door. I just can't feel at home in this world anymore. Friends, that's where our home is. The fact is, our true home is in heaven, and we should learn to live like it's there. Now, it may seem paradoxical to you and I, but heaven should be at the center of our worldview. You say, what's a worldview? A worldview is the framework from which we interpret the world around us. That's our worldview. It's the lens through which we see our life. That's our worldview. We all have a worldview. We should strive, we should desire to develop a biblical worldview. And when you and I develop a biblical worldview, in other words, when we see the world through what God says in His word, then heaven should be at the center of that. I want you to look at everything around you. Reach down and touch your pew right quick. Do it. Touch your pew. Reach over and touch your husband. Touch your wife. Y'all don't be touching each other over here. Look at all this. It's all going to go away. You say, even my husband? Yeah. The body he's living in. Even my wife? Yeah, she's gone too. It's all going to go away at some point. It's going to go up in smoke. There's no way we're getting out of here alive. There's two things. I told you last week. I've told you multiple times. Two things that will last forever. Our soul will last forever. The body here, it's giving out, folks. It's given out. But our soul, if our soul has been redeemed through Christ, then its forever will be spent in the presence of God in heaven. That's what I'm looking forward to. But if we're not saved, if our soul is not redeemed, then our soul will live its forever in eternity apart from God in a place called hell. But the soul will live forever. The second thing is going to live forever, and the only other thing that's going to live forever is the Word of God. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 8, the grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the Word of God shall stand forever. The paper that this Bible, the Word of God is written on, yeah, it'll perish. I've wore out many Bibles, and so have you over the years. It will perish, but the Word of God itself is eternal. The truths that are in this book are eternal, and they're going to come to pass. And all the various descriptions of the last days that are found here in this Bible, they're going to come to pass. Not a single one is going to be left undone. And so you and I should be reminded of that each day as we live in this ever-changing world. I'm not a doom and gloom kind of guy. I see the glass half full most of the time. I'm a person that is fairly optimistic. I get excited. I get very thankful when positive things are happening in our world. The potential right now out of having the right Supreme Court justice confirmed and put on the nation's highest court, that encourages me. That gives me optimism. The economic progress that we make as a nation, that encourages me. Medical breakthroughs, that encourages me. Peace talks and efforts to solve problems, that encourages me. There's a lot of good things that happen around us that are positive things, and we should appreciate them. But even as with that being the case, as students of the Bible, as believers in this number one all-time bestseller, we still know how things are going to play out in this world in the end. No matter how good some things can be, we still know how it's all going to end. Does that scare me? Don't scare me, folks. Far from it. Look, folks, I'm going to tell you, at this point in my life, there's very few things that scare me. I'm way into this deal. I've seen, I've done, I've experienced. I just don't much get afraid. If the boogeyman jumped out right now, I'd be like, get off me, man. I've had nightmares in this life that make you look plumb cuddly. Come here, boy. No, I'm not scared. There's no reason to be scared. You say, well, are you worried? I'm not worried. God's come through 6 times. He's going to come through in the 7th. I'm in my last days, folks. You say, how so? Well, I'm 53. Halftime is over. The band has marched. I'm back on the field. I'm playing the second half. I understand that. And even if I live to be in my 90s, it's not far away. I'm in my last days, and so are you. Life is like a roll of toilet paper. The closer you get to the end, the faster it goes. That's the way it is, folks. I might be in the last seconds. I might get a bad diagnosis tomorrow. Tragedy might happen, hit between now and the time I get home this afternoon. I don't know. Neither do you. But we know this. We know who wins. We're the champions. The old song, I won't sing it. Queen used to sing it. We are the champions. And we're going to celebrate. We're going to go to heaven. We're going to celebrate with Jesus. That's the way this deal plays out. Can you imagine watching a football game and knowing how it all turns out? Knowing who the winner will be? It would take all the suspense out of the game, wouldn't it? All the nail biting, all the fretting, all the what ifs, and if we do this, then maybe, and if that happens, then possibly, or if the other happens, well, oh no. No, that's all been taken out of it. That's the way our Christian life is. There's no need for suspense. There's no need for fretting. It doesn't mean that there's not going to be any excitement. We can still watch the game play out. We can see the various plays. We can see God calling the shots. We can see evil try to rear its head only to find out that righteousness will prevail. We're going to have some injuries. We're going to have some setbacks. And even though we know what the end is, there's going to be times that we get down a little bit and wondering how in the world it's going to pull out and how we're going to come out a champion. But then we know what the Bible says, and so we even don't have to worry then. It's going to work out because God says so. That's the way it is when heaven is real to you and I. That's the way it is when we have our focus, when we've set our affections on the things above and not on the things on earth. I have people ask me often, especially in recent months, Brother Chris, are we in the last days? Are we nearing the end? I'm not much of a sensationalist. I probably give some pretty boring answers. They're not very exciting. I simply say this. There are some very perilous times that we're seeing right now. The Bible says it'll be that way in the end. There are many things coming to pass that the Bible describes as being the end times. But beyond that, I don't know, but I know this, and I can tell you this for sure. You and I are in our last days. I don't care what age you are. I don't care how healthy you are. We're all approaching the end of our life. And it's at a higher rate of speed than many of us realize. I told you last week, I have 7 people that I minister to. Not all of them are here in the church, but 7 people that I minister to that are fighting cancer. Some of them are in their last year. Some of them possibly in their last weeks. Be that as it may, I like to encourage them with these words. I'm not far behind you, friend. I know it seems like it, but I'm not far behind you. It's going to happen just like that. You're not far behind them, friends. We all have an appointment with death. Does that sound bleak? It shouldn't, because heaven is our home. And heaven is a wonderful place. And heaven is where our inheritance is, and where our Father is, and where Jesus is, and where our loved ones are that have gone ahead of us. But our problem is, and I'll remind you, many of us don't think about that. We think about life, life, life. We think about life all the time. And we know that this life will not last forever. But in spite of that, we still think about life all the time. We've got to learn to correct that and put our focus on heaven. You turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. It's not very often I save our text to my closing remarks. That's what I'm doing right now. Read verse 19 with me, or I'll read it aloud. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 19, and don't be alarmed because I am closing. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. You know what that's saying, just in simple terms? If our relationship with Jesus only affects our everyday life, it only gives us hope for what's happening right now in the here and now. It has no eternal focus. Heaven is not in view. This verse is saying you're just going to be miserable Christians if that's the case. If you just need Jesus to give you a better life, if you just need Jesus to know that you're right with God, but you don't ever think about Jesus and the heavenly home that He's taken you to and the eternity that He's secured for you and I, it's saying it's going to be miserable. It's going to be a difficult existence, because folks, this life can be a miserable place at times. Don't mean to sound negative, but it can be for everybody. It can be good, yes, and we do have it very good in America. But folks, life will let you down. And life with Jesus still has its hardships. But I'll tell you this, what will never let you down is heaven and what God's prepared for us there. I'm afraid that it's the case for many of us that we don't set our affections on the things above. We don't set our mind and our thoughts on the things above. We focus too much of things here on earth. You guys can go, Brother David. You may be here today and you don't. Now listen to me. You may be here today and you don't have hope in heaven because you don't know Jesus Christ. Without having Him as your Lord and Savior, and knowing that this life won't last forever, that's a bad position to be in, friends. Very bad position. I said earlier, as you know, we know how this deal plays out. We know what the Bible says. So why would a person, why would any individual purposely stay on the losing team? Doesn't make sense. It would be so foolish. When we have the opportunity to fix that, when we have the opportunity to call upon Jesus and secure our salvation and know when the final buzzer blows and that we can celebrate with Jesus in heaven, if we know we can do that, why in the world would we walk out these back doors today or any other day not being saved? It would be foolish. I'm going to ask you to stand. Brother David and our musicians are going to play and sing, and as they do so, maybe you're here today and you say, I want to know Jesus. I want to secure my eternity. I want to get on the winning team. I want to have my sins forgiven. Friends, I'm standing right down here with a Bible in my hands. I'd love to share with you what it means to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe somebody else is here, just wants to pray at this altar. Maybe you just want to thank God. Maybe you want to pray for our president. Maybe you want to pray for anything else. And if that's the case, then I won't bother you. You're welcome to pray at this altar. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed.
I don't know about tomorrow. I just live from day to day. I don't bother. Jesus.